Welcome to Falun Gong News Direct from China and around the world. Today's stories include, first, persecution of Falun Gong was a major concern for China, reported prior to the G20 summit in Brisbane, Australia. Second, Western Australia. Falun Gong practitioners bring traditional Chinese culture to multicultural festival parade. Third, documentary on organ harvesting given Best in Category Award at Canada's Hamilton Film Festival. Fourth, 6,000 practitioners celebrate Falun Gong on Taiwan's Liberty Square. Fifth, another Falun Dafa 9-day seminar concludes at the Tianti Bookstore in Manhattan. Sixth, Shenyang judicial system follows playbook of the Chinese Communist Party and prosecutes innocent 64-year-old woman. And seventh, it's never too late to start cultivating, a Taiwanese couple's story. Now for the stories. Persecution of Falun Gong was a major concern for China, reported prior to the G20 summit in Brisbane, Australia. The persecution of Falun Gong is considered a major concern for China, as reported by ABC News prior to the G20 summit. World leaders and media reporters gathered in Brisbane, Australia for the G20 summit on November 15th to 16th, 2014. The Australian ABC News reported on the most concerning issues in G20 member countries on November 14th via interviews with activists. Falun Gong practitioner John Meng, a former teacher at Tsinghua University in Beijing, was interviewed. Mr. Meng said in the interview, "I started practicing Falun Gong in 1996 because I knew this is a great practice. The Chinese Communist Party's, CCP's, persecution is wrong. So I told other people the facts of the persecution. As a result, police arrested me and I was sentenced to a 9-year imprisonment. Prison guards tortured me, including brutal beatings, forced brainwashing, sleep deprivation, and forced labor. I was forced to have blood drawn several times. Now I know this was used in a database for forced live organ harvesting." Senator Christine Milne, leader of the Parliamentary Caucus of the Australian Greens, said during an interview, "I always have a strong stand for the rights of Tibetans, Uyghurs, and Falun Gong. We believe that China has a truly important relationship with Australia, but that relationship can be strengthened by standing up for human rights and recognizing the rights of all people. Otherwise, it would be diminished if we just talk about trade and dollars. And it would diminish our standing in the global context if we fail to raise this very important issue of human rights while President Xi Jinping is in Australia. I certainly think that the issue of organ harvesting of Falun Gong practitioners and other prisoners is wrong, and it is a matter that the Prime Minister should raise in the context of upholding human rights and upholding people's right to practice freedom of religion. Amnesty International expresses concerns regarding many cases of Chinese human rights violations, including those involving Falun Gong practitioners." A representative from the organization said during an interview, "Amnesty works on the basis of international solidarity. So we would encourage people who are concerned about human rights in another country to write to people in positions of power, including various levels of government, to write to them and bring up specific cases where they know people are being persecuted, to highlight the fact that they know that it is going on and they want that leader to do something about it." Western Australia, Falun Gong practitioners bring traditional Chinese culture to multicultural festival parade. Australia's longest-running festival, the Fremantle Festival, has a long-standing tradition. This year marked its 109th season. Starting on October 26th, the 17-day festival celebrated its finale with a grand multicultural street parade through the city of Fremantle on November 9th. Falun Dafa practitioners were among the scores of parade entries. They presented traditional Chinese performances, including a waist drum ensemble, a lion dance, and a fan dance, adding to the joyous atmosphere. The practitioners were warmly received by locals and tourists alike, who packed both sides of the parade route. Mr. Lee, the host of the event, said he found the practitioners' procession fantastic. He added that he hadn't known much about Falun Dafa, also known as Falun Gong, but he felt that the practitioners were a great group just by watching their performances during the parade. Local resident Swami Yogananda was impressed by the Falun Gong contingent's pure traditional style. He said it balanced well with the rest of the parade, which was permeated with more modern themes. Mr. Yogananda likened the Falun Gong contingent to a cool, soothing breeze in the summer. He said he was amazed at the harmony and rhythm found in the waist drumming, the music, and the lion dance. Mr. Li, a tourist from Hong Kong, told the reporter that he knew a little about Falun Gong, as he had seen large-scale Falun Gong marches in Hong Kong. Two young women from mainland China said that they were pleasantly surprised to see Falun Gong in a parade outside of China. This was a first for them, as the peaceful cultivation practice is persecuted in the mainland. They were eager to take photos of the Falun Gong performances. Documentary on Organ Harvesting given Best in Category Award at Canada's Hamilton Film Festival. David's and Goliath, a documentary about organ harvesting from living Falun Gong practitioners in China, was recognized as the best documentary feature at this year's Hamilton Film Festival. The event, held on November 3rd through 9th, 2014 in Ontario, Canada, attracted 140 movie submissions from around the world. Nathan Fleet, administrative director of the festival, praised the film. "It is a fantastic documentary, really incredibly sad and horrifying. It left a good impression on all of us who watched it, so it was easy to select that one as the best documentary." David's and Goliath focuses on the enormous efforts from David Mattis, human rights lawyer, and David Kilgore, former member of the Parliament and former Secretary of State for Asia Pacific. It also contains interviews with a number of patients who received transplanted organs in China. In March 2006, two witnesses testified against Su Jiatun, a secret concentration camp in Shenyang City, Liaoning Province, for its involvement in the systematic organ harvesting from living Falun Gong practitioners. More testimonies followed afterwards. Mattis and Kilgore conducted independent investigations and published a report in July 2006. Their research continued as additional evidence became available. The third version of their report was published in 2009 with the title Bloody Harvest. Experts estimate that about 65,000 Falun Gong practitioners became victims of organ harvesting between 2000 and 2008. This was supported by China's rapid increase of transplantation surgeries, whose organ source couldn't be explained by death row prisoners. Organ harvesting has become a state-sanctioned practice for the military, courts, and hospitals to profit from killing Falun Gong practitioners on demand. The nationwide persecution policy made such systematic operations possible in China without legal consequences. State Organs, a book compiled by Mattis and other experts in this field and published in July 2012, further explored the involvement of Chinese state institutions. By bringing together authors from four continents who shared their views and insights on how to combat these atrocities, this book called on everyone to stop this form of evil yet to be seen on this planet. Mattis and Kilgore were nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize in 2010 for their extensive research and consistent follow-up efforts on live organ harvesting. Mr. Fleet said, "Like many people in the movie, I couldn't believe something like this had actually happened and let this kind of thing go on. The amount, the number in the movie is just astonishing. A movie like this needs to get out to the public so that more people are aware of it, know what is happening and how it is happening. This kind of thing needs to stop," he added. He hoped that this documentary could inspire more Davids to go work together and end this atrocity. Lee Yongxiang, the documentary director, said he first heard about the forced organ harvesting in 2006. "I found it hard to accept initially because it challenged the baseline of mankind's morality. As time went on, more evidence was uncovered. I knew that this indeed existed." He later had the idea of making a documentary to raise awareness. "I urge the audience to watch the movie calmly from beginning to end," Lee said. "Think over the evidence presented in the film and use your own judgment." This documentary has also been entered in the Viewster Online Film Festival. It is now available for free viewing on the festival's domain between November 13th and 27th. Practitioners celebrate Falun Gong on Taiwan's Liberty Square. Despite being persecuted on the mainland, a Chinese traditional spiritual practice was celebrated in Taiwan by nearly 6,000 practitioners on Saturday. Visitors from mainland China were taken by the scene of the large-scale group Falun Gong exercises and character formation at Liberty Square near Chiang Kai-shek Memorial Hall. Chinese tourists to this major national landmark took pictures of display boards with information that is censored on the mainland, including the truth of the staged self-immolation on Tiananmen Square, lawsuits against high-ranking Chinese Communist Party officials responsible for persecuting Falun Gong, and the state-sanctioned organ harvesting from Falun Gong practitioners and other prisoners of conscience in China. Many Chinese visitors had photos of themselves taken standing next to the display boards. Mr. Wu Qingqiang, who designed the character formation, talked about the day's imagery. The main picture is a bodhisattva holding the book Juan Falun. She poses as a celestial maiden spreading heavenly flowers. This symbolizes the fact that Falun Gong is practiced around the world. Falun Gong is well received in over 100 countries on 5 continents. Unfortunately, it is persecuted in its country of origin, China. The 8 Chinese characters mean, "The Buddha light illuminates everywhere and rectifies all abnormalities." Mr. Wu explained that the sentence represents the benefits that Falun Gong brings to practitioners and to society as a whole. He elaborated, "When everyone follows Falun Gong's principles of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance, and thinks of others before themselves, the entire society will be in harmony and manifest the impact of the Buddha light illuminating everywhere and rectifying all abnormalities." The event was held at the Chiang Kai-shek Memorial Hall, a major landmark in Taipei, Taiwan. The large square, flanked by the Memorial Hall, the National Concert Hall, and the National Theater, provided a grand stage for the character formation and group exercises. Another Falun Dafa 9-day seminar concludes at the Tianti Bookstore in Manhattan. The November Falun Dafa 9-day seminar at the Tianti Bookstore concluded on November 11, 2014. Some of the participants said that they planned to join the group Fa study sessions starting on Wednesday. Some decided to join the next seminar in January 2015. The Tianti Bookstore has been holding bimonthly Falun Dafa 9-day seminars since it opened in Manhattan last October. The seminars offer the free video teachings of Master Li Hangxue and 5 sets of Falun Dafa exercises. The one which concluded on November 11th was the last session for 2014. The Tianti Bookstore website is tiantibooks.org. Address is 220 West 30th Street, New York, New York, 10001. Shenyang judicial system follows playbook of the Chinese Communist Party and prosecutes innocent 64-year-old woman. The Chinese Communist Party has developed a playbook for its judicial system, punish law-abiding citizens when they tell people about how the peaceful spiritual practice of Falun Gong is being persecuted. Institutions involved in the CCP's judicial system, from law enforcement agencies to detention facilities, from the procuratorate to the courts, are following a predetermined script in their prosecution processes of Falun Gong practitioners. Blatant violations of practitioners' constitutional right to belief are commonplace as authorities followed the regime's directives to illegally sentence practitioners to prison. No exceptions. There is no law for Falun Gong practitioners. Falun Gong practitioner Ms. Nu Guicheng and her family from Shenyang City, Liaoning Province, were no exception to the CCP's irrational treatment. 64-year-old Ms. Nu became a target after the persecution began in 1999. She was monitored for 6 months before her most recent arrest in April 2014. After tracking her for distributing Shenyang DVDs, police officers deceived her by posing as Water Commission agents at her house. They barged in, ransacked her home, and then sent Ms. Nu to the detention center the next day. In order to fabricate evidence against her, the police lied to Ms. Nu's family. They said that she would be given, at most, a 1-year sentence if they could provide the requested information. Eager to get her out of detention, the family signed the documents, only then to be told that her sentence would actually be at least a year. The family consulted lawyers, who agreed they would be able to defend Ms. Nu if they would be allowed to argue her case based on the actual law. However, they all admitted that when it comes to Falun Gong cases, there is no law. Before forwarding her case to the court, the local procuratorate sent an affiliated lawyer to bargain with the family. This lawyer claimed that Ms. Nu's sentence could be reduced if the family agreed to pay a predetermined amount of money. The family declined the bribe. Ms. Nu's trial in early August lasted only 15 minutes. She pleaded not guilty, but the judge dared not acquit her. The hearing was adjourned without the judge issuing a verdict. The same judge disclosed to the family that the Political and Legal Affairs Committee, another powerful administrative division of the CCP, is heavily involved in all sentencing for Falun Gong practitioners. At this time, Ms. Nu is still being held at the Shenyang City No. 1 Detention Center. One of her cellmates, who was recently released, revealed that Ms. Nu is suffering from high blood pressure and has frequent chest pains. However, the authorities have denied Ms. Nu's family requests for medical parole. It's never too late to start cultivating, a Taiwanese couple's story. Mr. Yeo Jingshan is 84 years old and so is his wife. Both of them started to practice Falun Gong 4 years ago. Mr. Yeo worked hard throughout his life. When he got older, he had money but was in bad health. He had high blood pressure, heart disease, and chronically inflamed joints. He walked and did other physical exercises and had massages beginning at the age of 60. But after 20 years, he felt no better. In fact, he felt sore all over. Every winter, he caught a cold that lasted for several months. He had to see his doctor so often that they became friends. Mr. Yeo's wife also had many health issues. She complained of back pain and had sinusitis. She was on a number of medications. Her health turned for the worse, and she was skin and bones. She felt she had reached the end of her life. Their son-in-law, who had practiced Falun Dafa for more than 10 years, suggested that they do the same. You two are in and out of the hospital all the time. The Falun Dafa is so good. Why don't you practice? They discussed it and said, our son-in-law is right. He has not seen a doctor for as long as we can remember, while we are constant visitors to the doctor's office. Why don't we try Falun Dafa? They went to the Dongning practice site to learn. In just a few days, Mr. Yu improved a lot. He could walk so fast, it was almost like he was flying. This was new to him. Because of his ill health, he had thought he could not take part in such an activity. He told himself, this Dafa is really powerful. I will continue to practice it. He hasn't set foot in a hospital in the past 4 years. He told his doctor that he was practicing Falun Dafa and no longer had to go to a hospital. The doctor said, that's great. I have heard that Falun Dafa is very good. I will recommend it to my other patients. Mr. Yu's wife's health also improved after she began to cultivate in Dafa. Even her temperament has changed. She used to have a very bad temper. From cultivating, she learned that everything that happens is because of a karmic relationship. She is more relaxed, and all her illnesses are gone. After they first retired, they traveled abroad for a while, but then had to stop because of poor health. After practicing Falun Dafa, their health improved, and they have attended Falun Dafa experience-sharing conferences outside of Taiwan. They've even walked in 4-hour-long parades. The couple used to argue often. Now they live in harmony. Their son and daughter-in-law say how they changed and began to practice Falun Dafa too. Now almost the entire family practices Falun Dafa. That's all we have for you this week. If you like the contents, please go to our website to subscribe to the weekly newsletter or send your suggestions and feedback to editor@en.minghui.org. Thank you for listening.